been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.
Welcome to the Shrimp Tank, broadcasting live every Thursday from the Woodlands, Texas. This is the internet radio show where we interview the brightest and best business owners and entrepreneurs all across the state of Texas about the do's and don'ts of starting, growing, creating a successful business. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin of Provident. And joining me in the studio today is Catherine Bates. Catherine, hello. Good morning. How are you? And we also have Bob Milner. Bob is the GM, co-owner of Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands, and we're broadcasting live at Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands. Bob, thank you for having us in your home office here.
Well, welcome. We're glad to have you here. I'm excited about y'all being here today and us getting a chance to talk.
Yeah, we got to warm up a little bit and learn a little bit about you. We're excited about that. And also, we have Dr. John Newbold. John is a faculty member of Sam Houston State University. And John, what classes are you teaching right now?
Actually, this semester I'm teaching international marketing and an MBA class in marketing strategy.
He's a marketing guru and professor. He's got his Sam Houston State University orange on. And I have my Bearcat socks on.
Oh,
you guys see my, you know.
Yes, we've seen them. Oh, look at those boots.
Yeah, got my Bearcat socks rocking. Hey, what's going on? Tell us just real quick. This isn't a show about football. It's not a sports show. But we got some excitement and buzz going on with the football team up there, right, John?
Well, yeah, the football team's got a big game on Friday against James Madison. They're in the playoffs for the FCS. So we're excited about that.
Undefeated, right? And it looks like they're pointed towards the national championship.
Hopefully.
Yeah, they're doing so good, we're going to probably lose Coach Keeler. Some big school is going to come hire him away.
No, he'll stay.
He's a rock star. So anyway, we're excited to be here today at Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands. And the Shrimp Tank also, along with Sam Houston State Entrepreneurship Degree Program, here's live pitches of new business ideas from young entrepreneurs, not to raise capital, but for mentorship and to really learn. The concept is coming off of Shark Tank, of course, the successful show. But this is the concept is the idea is a little bit like Shark Tank meets The Voice. Now, I'd like to give a shout out to Professor Chip Matthews. He actually had me up at his classroom last week, and he had a group of students. Actually, all of his students were put into groups, and they had business assignments, and they gave their pitches of their ideas. So I was one of the sharks there. It was a ton of fun. And so Chip Matthews, just like to say, you did a great job with the Shark Tank concept right in the classroom. So following along with that, the Shrimp Tank is the resource for young aspiring entrepreneurs. This is a show where we can learn from people who have already succeeded. So today we're going to learn a little bit about Bob Milner and his story. And I would like to speak about the idea of entrepreneurship. We were talking about that. It's a degree program now. It's taught all across the United States. We were laughing earlier that, hey, this is a, capitalism, entrepreneurship. It's more of an American sort of way. Catherine said that George Bush said the French didn't have a word for entrepreneurship.
It's very true.
We laughed about that earlier. It's an American ideal, an American sort of way, and we are excited about that. And guys, if you were going to put your finger on the map of the United States, where would you go besides, right here in Texas, right in the Woodlands for that matter?
Absolutely.
It's one of the best economies anywhere in the country, and the state of Texas has been booming and growing. And, if you're that entrepreneur and maybe you're looking for the inspiration to get your start, hopefully you can learn some great lessons from Bob Milner today. And if you're seasoned and you're just looking to get to that next level, I know that you'll benefit from the deep dive that we're going to do. So, Bob, can we just dive in a little bit on your story? Tell us a little bit about you and your background and your business and just how we got here today.
Wow. Well, how we got here today is I got into the car business really by accident. I worked for British Petroleum when I got out of the military and traveled internationally for them for a few years. and they went through a business restructuring, and I didn't want to live overseas. And I had a friend who owned a car dealership, and I changed careers in my early 30s. I had actually worked in the car business when I was in high school and college, and worked in a parts warehouse and swept floors in the service department and swept floors. So that sort of gave me the foundation of at least knowing a little bit about it.
You started at the bottom. You're the co-owner and general manager, but I hear you said you were the guy with the broom in the beginning.
I was. My first job in an automotive dealership was sweeping out a parts warehouse that was about 60,000 square feet.
What,
nice. And Bob, what kind of lessons did you learn? So you started from the bottom and have now worked your way all the way up to where you own your own dealership. What can you tell somebody who's currently working at an entry-level position who might aspire to someday own their own company? What can they learn from working in that entry-level position?
Well, I think there's a couple of key things they can learn. The first thing is that there's no one person within the team that is any more significant or less significant than the other. Every person who works within our organization is a potential touch point for our customer and their experience. I think another big thing that they need to understand when they start out at the bottom or they're working their way up is don't let people steal your dreams. Because there's a lot of people out there that will tell you, you'll never be more than a floor sweeper, you'll never be more than a car washer, you'll never be more than a salesperson. And all they're trying to do is steal your dream. So if you have a dream and you're really focused on it, understand that every decision you make in life and every career decision and job you have in life is a foundation to prepare you for that next opportunity.
It's like the crabs in the bucket, you know. They say one starts to crawl out of the bucket and the other crabs grab a hold of it and pull it back down and pull it back under. And that's a great lesson. Don't let anybody steal your dreams. And you talked about everybody at the place here is just as important. To me, that sounds a little bit like a cultural mindset of a culture that you're looking to cultivate here at the company. Could you speak to that just a little bit, Bob?
Sure. When we started this process a little over 3 years ago, our main focus was culture and developing a great culture. And so, you know, in an organization, our customer touch points, when they come into our dealership, they're typically our valet, who is an entry-level position. And then when they leave with their vehicle from the service department, the last person they talk to is one of our car washers or a valet. Again, typical entry-level positions. It's the same thing when they purchase a vehicle from us. While they may interact with a salesperson or a manager, at the end of the day, when they leave this facility with their new vehicle, the car washer or the detailer is probably the last person they're going to talk to, because that's the person that want to make sure that the customer is happy of the job that they've done.
And speaking of that, and speaking of touches and customer experience, I read that there's free lifetime car washes, that you have a product genius bar, an on-site massage therapist. Yeah?
Yes, we have all of those.
I get a Mercedes, I get a massage. I love
you
that.
You bring your car in for service, we'll set you up with a massage, and we have two awesome massage chairs in our customer lounge, and if you've ever sat in one of them, you will not want to get out of it.
I call that a unique experience for sure. And then pick up, like, so if I'm at my office, I got meetings all day long and my car needs some service, you have somebody that's going to come get my car and bring it back. And that's all part of the concierge package. And those are part of those luxury touch points that come with owning a Mercedes, correct?
Come with owning a Mercedes-Benz from Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it's part of our luxury of convenience package. So if you don't want to bring your car in the morning and enjoy our catered breakfast that we have for our customers every morning, we're happy to come pick up your car, pick it up, bring it in for service, leave you a loaner if you need it, and then bring it back to you later that day when we're finished with it.
That's fabulous. I'm like, what am I doing driving a Dodge truck? I have no idea, you know. But anyway, that's great. So, John, we were on the show together most recently where we interviewed Ray Sanders and the commercial banking episode live in the classroom at Sam Houston State University. But could you comment? I consistently hear culture being a cornerstone of successful business owners' action plans. Would you say that's consistent?
Yeah, it really is. And they teach leadership. There are specific classes now in leadership, and the mindset of the leader is extremely important because the mindset then will affect the things they say, the things they do, their behaviors. And so you start by having a particular mindset or philosophy about how you plan to lead and manage. And then that leads to specific behaviors and specific programs, you know. And I think that's true of Mercedes of the Woodlands as well. I was remarking to Bob earlier that in terms of the marketing for his dealership and everything, it seems like they are very focused on being a part of the Woodlands community and contributing to the community, both the volunteer sort of aspect and also providing the dealership as a facility to have meetings and things like that. And I was wondering, Bob, if you could comment on that a little bit about the focus on the community.
Yeah, absolutely. So when Joe and I started this 3 years ago, we felt like culture was going to be the foundation of our business and our success. And a great piece of that culture is our engagement with the community. Joe and I consider ourselves to be servant leaders. And by that, we really believe that if we always stay focused on helping to satisfy personal and professional goals for the members of our team and focused on what's the right thing to do in the community to help the community in areas that it needs help, that he and I will never have to worry about one of our personal or professional goals.
And you know what? I can tell that that's not a flimsy slogan for you, Bob, that you live that. And doing a little bit of research on you, we learned that you're on the board and of several nonprofits and charities, and you have it just speaks to where your heart is. And then also you have a special interest in rescue animals, and I'm wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about that so our listeners could get to know you and what your passions are a little bit more.
Yeah, I didn't even own a pet 2 years ago. When we moved back here, my wife had always wanted a dog, and she traveled. So I said, okay, we'll get you a dog when we move back. And so we found a little Maltese, and it was going to be my wife's dog. And long story short, she had to go out of town, and Daddy didn't like her crying in her crate, so he put her in bed with him. And then Daddy took her with her to every meeting when he was talking to contractors. I bought her a little car seat. So she became Daddy's little sidekick, and I met someone who was an animal rescue, and they needed help transporting a dog. So I said, well, hey, we'll go pick it up at the shelter. It was going to be killed that evening, euthanized. So we went and picked it up. We took it to a vet. They got it healthy, and they adopted it out. So that's how I got into that. My wife and I have four dogs. Two of them are rescues from Kill List, and another one from a rescue whose parent got ill and owner got ill and passed away. And then one of the things we do with our business is we transport animals from the Kill List at local shelters, locally and out of state. We've transported over 480 animals this year locally.
Wow, unreal.
And over 1,000 out of state.
Wow. Yeah. That's so awesome to hear that. It's so exciting. So since we're on that topic right now, and if one of our listeners said, hey, you know what, I'd like to have a rescue animal. It's Christmas holiday season, and I need a pet. How would someone get in touch with the rescue center?
So you can go to the shelter and you can adopt an animal through the shelter, or you, if you're looking for specific types of breeds, there are many rescues that focus on certain breeds like Schnauzers or Yorkies or Westies, mm-hmm. Collies, German Shepherds, and you could just Google and go to their websites. If you get it through a rescue, those animals have already been updated currently on all of their shots. They don't have any illnesses.
Mine was a rescue. Yeah. Operation Pets Alive. I got my dog. Whole Foods. She was brought.
Yeah, right. They do a lot of events that Whole Foods OPA does, and they're really big here in Montgomery County.
Yeah,
they do a great job with it.
And you know, the mixed breeds of mutts are oftentimes the best pets.
Mine's a mutt.
Yeah, right.
She's a pit bull mixed mix, but she's the sweetest dog I've ever owned.
I'm sure.
Love her to death.
So producer's telling me we need to go to a commercial. You're listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast. Don't forget you can download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back with Bob Milner. Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands showroom and service facility in the Woodlands area of Houston is open and in the growing area of North Houston and in Southwest Montgomery County. Our full-service Mercedes dealership is located convenient to I-45 between Conroe and Houston. We offer the luxury of convenience, concierge pickup and delivery, free lifetime car washes, product genius bar, on-site massage therapist, and private business center. Let us help you find your dream car. Call us at 936-206-7000. 7500 or visit us on the web at www.mbotw.com. It's Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands. And we are back live broadcasting from Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin. Joining me in the studio today is the lovely Catherine Bates and Dr. John Newbold and our special featured guest today, entrepreneur, GM, co-owner of Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands, Mr. Bob Milner. And Bob, we're starting in now a deep dive, a little bit about your journey. We talked a little bit about culture. We hit on leadership. John had a great question bringing up some leadership ideas and concepts to you, but I noticed in your bio that you're actually taking this to another level with some advanced training, and I was wondering if you could tell us just a little bit about that, and maybe some special takeaways that you've learned on this journey with actual advanced training and leadership, which I believe will result eventually for you in a PhD in executive leadership and organizational development.
Yeah, thanks. So, I've really tried to focus my career on understanding myself and understanding what type of leadership style I really have and understanding how it impacts those around me. So I've been involved in a lot of leadership conferences over the years across the country and one international leadership conference. And after I finished my MBA as an adult, I decided I wanted to focus on a PhD in executive leadership and really dig in and understand, you know, who I am and how I could really facilitate leadership at a different level for many people. And while I'm an entrepreneur and I own a business, I really plan to focus what I learned from that on helping nonprofits structure more effective boards from a leadership standpoint and how they engage with the executive directors of the nonprofit so that they create a synergy that enables them to work together and really make nonprofits successful.
That's fabulous. And I was just wondering, you know, some of our listeners are aspiring entrepreneurs and they look out into the sea of entrepreneurship and they know somewhere in their classes at the university at Sam Houston State, they learned that 50% of the small business owners fail within the first 5 years. What would you tell a young entrepreneur that's maybe got an idea or a concept they want to launch and they're looking at that failure rate? What would you tell them? What encouragement, words of encouragement would you have for them in regards to that?
Well, I guess the first thing I would say is you need to make sure you have a good strategic plan when you're going to open your own business. And that strategic plan needs to take into consideration any external factors that your business potentially may encounter, along with all of the internal challenges. And then you really need to have a good solid financial plan, because the majority of businesses that fell in the first year because they don't really understand how to manage cash flow. Not people who go into business understand the difference between cash flow and profit. And there's a distinct difference
and
between
budgeting.
The two. And budgeting exactly.
Yeah. Cash flow's king. It's always good.
Yeah, right. So this could be for either of you, Dr. Newbold, or for you, Bob. But you mentioned strategic plan. You mentioned financial plan. I think a lot of people think in the context of a business plan. You know, are these components of a business plan, or what do you guys teach at the university about business planning? We've heard different ideas about a business plan from different guests that have come on the show, but give us some thoughts about that.
Well, one of the key things, and to back up something that Bob said, is that you have to do enough research to know the reason why you're in business, for whom, and to do what for whom, and to understand the external environment and what might affect your business. You also have to be able to structure everything to show where the revenues are going to come from, to show what your business model is, to show your cash flow, to show where you're going to be. But probably another thing I think a lot of people overlook is it's a living document. You have to be nimble. The world, there's always things that are going to surprise you, things that are going to change, and you're going to have to change things that you do, and you're going to have to be able to manipulate and rejigger that business plan and roll with the flow. There aren't very many successful business people who ended up doing exactly what they put on their business plan from day one.
And we haven't.
it's fluid, and that reminds me of the book Traction. And we actually had a CEO of a $100 million company come on the Shrimp Tank, and now he's a strategic coach for the Traction concepts, and it's running an entire business off a few simple sets of metrics and A lot of the same things apply. It doesn't matter if you have a taco truck or a Mercedes Benz of the Woodlands dealership. There are many things that transfer, and you have to keep in mind that that's a fluid sort of document. So,
yeah. And Bob, you said that you guys haven't, it hasn't gone exactly. Has there anything been surprising since you plan to open up the dealership here in the Woodlands? Anything about the Woodlands that's changed more rapidly than you thought, or something that was a bit of a surprise?
Well, you know, actually, shortly after we opened, oil dropped from $100 a barrel to $30 a barrel. So, but I would say that, you know, that probably affected our growth plan more than it did our strategic business plan, okay? Because we built the business plan to function at a base level of operation to be successful. And then we also planned a strategic plan that if oil and the economy stayed at certain levels, how would we need to adjust to adapt and meet those? Mm-hmm. And even though oil has dropped down, our business has probably settled somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. Because we've actually reached the point to where we're ready to expand our facility and things like that to support growth.
That's great comments. By the way, with this being a community show, and we're talking about some community aspects, I want to mention the Woodlands High School football player Grant Milton, and just that today he's in our thoughts and in our prayers. Catherine brought that to my attention earlier, and so we looked up a little bit about the update. There's a update on his health at caringbridge.org that his father, Miles, posts there on a regular basis. He's still, as far as we know, and by the way, if you're not familiar with that story, he's the Woodlands area football player that had the serious brain injury and so much.
Woodlands High School.
At the Woodlands High School, yeah. And so it happened in Waco. He's still at the hospital at Waco. They're trying to prepare him to come back to the Houston area. I know there was a prayer vigil at Steve Bradley and the people over at Stonebridge Church had a prayer vigil for him. I know that there's a GoFundMe page set up for, again, his name is Grant Milton, in case you're just learning about this. And then also we learned that Mr. J.J. Watt, you know, made a significant
$10,000
contribution. Yeah. So he's someone that is in our thoughts and prayers this holiday season. And by the way, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Shrimp Tank podcast, where we interview Houston's best and brightest entrepreneurs. We're here in the studio today with Bob Milner. Don't forget, you can download a complete replay of our show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. Also, all of our shows are on iTunes. So just go to iTunes, houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. So, you know, Bob, getting ready for this meeting with you in this interview. 2008, and not that long ago in my mind, although hopefully soon that will be somewhat of a distant memory. But you were in the car business in 2008, correct?
I was, yes. And that was a tough time to be in the car business.
And you're still here. So, yes. You know, it's fair to say that, you know, a bomb went off in 2008 and some people were impacted more than others. And, you know, it makes me think of the in Hempstead, the massive car dealership there that was Ray Childers was associated with. I drove by one day and it was just gone. And so you must have taken a severe blow at that time, but somehow you're still on your feet. Tell us about that. How did you survive that?
A couple of ways. One, it goes back to a great strategic plan, because you have to plan in that for external factors. The other thing is we try to run our business with very limited debt, mm-hmm. for that reason. So when the economy gets really bad, even though your sales and your profits may be down, you don't have a large debt structure to support, so you can afford.
Amen.
And then, you know, the tough thing about that is it forces you to become more efficient, both from an economic standpoint and, unfortunately, from a personnel standpoint, because if you have less customers and you have less business, you need less people to support what you're trying to do, which is the sad part of any economic downturn. But one thing about an economic downturn is when you come out of it, successful business learn how to be more efficient and more successful. And they also have the opportunity to go in and acquire the operations or assets of people who weren't good planners with debt and create job opportunities for other people in those areas.
I love the answer because I know that statistically 2008 in the market, as it relates to the market, because we track markets, but that was the worst year in 75 years. And people ask me about that, and I say, we may not see another year like that for 75 more years. But as much as that is true, it's also true in the next 12 months. It could be 2008 all over again. The future's random and unpredictable. And you talked about not being levered up, and leverage is one of these really dual-edged swords. It can make you rich and it can make you broke. And you've looked at that and you've said, hey, I make the decision that I'm gonna really be conservative on the whole idea of leverage.
That's true. And, you mentioned Texas being a hotbed, and it's really kind of an incubation state for entrepreneurship. And I think one of the reason is because we've developed so much of a diverse economy. Even though oil was down, there's still a lot of thriving economies within the state. And so, that's one of the things we believe has helped support our business, because things have become so diverse in Houston and the Woodlands area.
Mm-hmm. We're going to go to another commercial break. We're going to be right back. I want to talk to you a little bit more about culture and a little bit more of the unique experience here at Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands. We're live in studio today, broadcasting from Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands with Bob Milner and Dr. John Newbold of the Sam Houston State University School of Business. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin with Provident. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Has planning, saving, and investing for retirement been on your to-do list for far too long? Then look no further than right here in the Woodlands with the coaches of Provident Wealth Advisors. Don't put planning for your future off any longer. Get started today and call 281-466-4843 or visit us on the web at www.providentwealthllc.com.
Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by Provident Wealth Advisors, a registered investment advisor in the state of Texas. Insurance products and services are offered through Goodwin Financial Group. Provident Wealth Advisors and Goodwin Financial Group are affiliated companies. And we are back live in studio, Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands, broadcasting live with Bob Milner and Dr. John Newbold and Catherine Bates.
Can I just say something? I know Mr. and Mrs. Milner donated $5,000 to Grant Milton too, so that they must be really proud of that. So,
thank you.
I just wanted to say.
I mean, life is about split seconds, and that just shows you the difference between one split second in someone's life and I don't think that anybody could do enough to help that family, because the road ahead is going to be very long and difficult.
Yep. And you know what? Heart, passion, service, those things usually by default lead to people succeeding in their businesses.
It shows as well what a great area the Woodlands is, because so many businesses have got involved in this. It's lovely to see. You don't see it in very often in many places, and I can't believe how all these companies.
Tom Balch at Saddle Ridge Gun River Range. Yeah. We broadcast a show of Shrimp Tank live at the Saddle Ridge. We were in the Crockett.
Yeah, he's donating 15% and all these businesses.
And Chick-fil-A sold out of all the T-shirts they made in 3 hours. The line coming out of Chick-fil-A.
I went there and couldn't get one.
I know. You couldn't even get into the parking lot to get near there to get a T-shirt.
So Grant certainly has a lot of people praying for him and support for him, and we're happy about that. And we hope to have a Christmas miracle that he could come home and that he'll be well and safe back in his home for the Christmas season. So thank you, Catherine. So, Bob, a little bit more about culture. If you could comment a little bit more about, you mentioned that everyone here has the same sort of importance, but the culture seems to be a real underpinning of the way this business is run and the way that you approach business, service, things in general. And just, are there any other key components or cornerstones of the cultural mindset that you want to cultivate here at Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands?
I guess really from a cultural standpoint, it's about service. And it's about each other, being willing to serve each other and service each other, as well as our community and our customers. But the other thing is we focus a lot of our mentoring programs, a lot of our training programs on culture, on personal development when it comes to communication and understanding, how you communicate and how you interact with others. And we invest a lot in that type of training and development for our team. The other thing I would say is that people need to understand that while the culture vision comes from Joe and I, we aren't the culture. Our team is the culture. Mm-hmm. And our team's culture is only as good as the person on our team who lives our culture the least.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and I was going to add to that what they teach now in the schools is that the culture is not one of those fluffy things that you just blow off. The culture is actually the thing that is the differentiating factor. It's your strategic advantage, because somebody could take a look at Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands and say, hey, I'll put some massage chairs in my dealership too, and then I'll be just as good as Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands. And the short answer is no, you won't, because that's part of a bigger picture of a whole lot of reinforcing behaviors and programs.
And we have a culture team that does that. We nominate 7 people, and they serve each quarter, and they constantly watch our culture. They manage the culture internally if we have challenges, and they also recognizing outstanding cultural actions that happen, and we reward them. We created a culture coin. It's very similar to a challenge coin in the military, and we award those each month and each week, and at each year in our Christmas party, they can use those. They have cash value. They can buy vacation days, or they can buy, you know, trips and stuff like that with them.
What sort of thing would you have to do to earn that? What type of thing would you do?
I'll give you an example. Recently, there was a traffic jam on the freeway because an oil tanker had overturned in Conroe, and a lady ran out of gas. It was 7 o'clock at night. She called Volkswagen. They were closed. She called here. One of our salespeople answered the phone, and she said, I ran out of gas. I'm in this traffic. So our salesperson got a technician that was in the shop working on a car. He grabbed the valet. They jumped in our golf cart. They went and got gas at Costco. They took gas down the little emergency lane, almost a mile and a half up the freeway, put gas in her car, and helped her get her car restarted. She was driving a Mustang. She wasn't driving a Mercedes-Benz.
Maybe next time.
And but, you know, they didn't care. They knew that someone needed help, and so they stepped up. And so all three of those individuals were awarded a culture coin by the team.
Brilliant.
That is truly brilliant. I love that, and I love your comments about leadership. One of my mentors said that great leaders don't create followers. They create other leaders. And it sounds like that you and Joe are the leadership team. You're the pace setters of the culture, but you actually have the exciting pleasure of being able to see that vision lived out in the people that are part of the firm. A great thing about that, too, is if someone doesn't want to adopt the culture, they're going to kind of stand out around here, wouldn't they?
They would stand out a lot, and the team takes care of that.
Yeah. And they would be gone soon.
They
right?
would be. I mean, at the end of the day, that's the price of entry, and it's also the cost to exit. If you're not going to follow our culture, it doesn't matter how great you are at what you do. We're not going to compromise culture for anything.
Yeah. And Bob, you talked about, you know, you've sort of looked at your own leadership style and tried to consider it. If I was somebody who owned, if there was someone who owned a small business and maybe had 20 or 30 employees, I was wondering if you could comment on the leadership role of the owner in terms of, one of the things I've noticed is that all the employees always look at the owner, look at the leader for cues as to how they should behave. Have you noticed that through your years of coming up, the way things that you might think somebody wasn't paying attention to, but they were?
Oh, absolutely. You're always being watched when you're a leader. It doesn't matter what level of leadership you have. The people on your team are always watching you, and they watch if you overreact. They watch if you underreact. They watch if you bring your home issues to work in the morning. And so one of the things I like to tell people on our leadership team is you have to understand this is our playing field. And when you cross that parking lot and enter our facility, it's game time.
Game on.
It doesn't have anything to do with what happened in practice. It doesn't have anything to do with what happened at home. It doesn't have anything to do with your travel to work today. Today, it's all about doing the best you can to take care of your team and our customers.
Mm-hmm. That's fabulous. We're going to go to one more commercial break. We'll be back. We're live in the studio today at Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands with Bob Milner, Dr. John Newbold of Sam Houston State University School of Business, and Catherine Bates. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin of Provident. Don't go away. We'll be right back. According to a recent Forbes business article, 9 out of 10 business owners are overpaying their taxes. Contact the team at Provident to explore how you can pay only what you are legally, morally, and ethically required to pay. After a simple 30-minute no-obligation assessment, we'll determine if we can substantially reduce your tax burden. If so, we'll develop a tax savings plan utilizing our exclusive tax blueprint. Visit us online at providentwealthllc.com. And we are back live in studio today with Bob Milner at Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin of Provident. Joining me in the studio today is Dr. John Newbold of the Sam Houston State University School of Business and Catherine Bates. And so, guys, my producer's telling us that we're chewing up some minutes here on your interview and that we got to move the pace along. And so I think that this has been one of the best conversations I've ever had about culture mm-hmm. and leadership and vision and servant leadership. I just think that this shows up really well in your business and in your life, Bob. But I wanted to talk a little bit about work ethic for maybe yourself and those here. You know, what is the culture about work ethic? What's your approach? What's your feeling about work ethic?
Well, people confuse culture with being a country club. Our culture is a performance-based culture. So work ethic is very important because we run our operation with a lean team, and it requires everybody to carry their fair share of the load. And so we're fortunate that we have a team that does that. And if they end up with an individual that's part of their team that isn't always carrying the load, they take care of that themselves and they manage it. I don't have to. But I think that's the important thing to understand, is that performance-based culture is what makes a company successful, not a country-style culture.
Mm-hmm. So this all relies on people, finding the right people, attracting the right people, and keeping the right people. Have you learned any, you have any words of wisdom for any of our listeners about bringing the right people into your organization?
I have. That was part of our strategic plan. We were committed to a certain recruiting hiring plan that we laid out before we opened, and we didn't compromise it. We use profile testing. We use two different types of profile tests for everybody that we employ, including car washers and valets and detailers.
Would you mind sharing the details? Do you use different vendors for the profile testing?
We do. One of the ones we use is called a zero risk profile, and it's more about one's personality style and how they see themselves. Mm-hmm. And then we do use another one that is specific to the car business, and it's more about skill set and what type of skill set they have and how they see their skill set development. And then we also use the Wonderlic, because we want people to join our team who understand how to make decisions and reason. One of our cultural pillars is that you're empowered, which means every employee on our team is empowered to make whatever decision they need to make to take care of a customer. Mm-hmm. They don't need to come to me. And so if you're going to give people that type of responsibility and authority, you need to make sure that they have the ability and the desire to make a decision and understand how to reason.
And Bob, could you speak a little bit to like what type of career path someone actually could follow? Because I think a lot of people think that you go to work as a salesperson at a dealership and it's like it's a short-term sort of a thing and there's no way to advance. But I think the car industry's come a long way and they're now real career paths.
Oh, definitely. We have a career path for everybody on our team. We build that as soon as they come in. We try to understand what their goals are. But, you know, if you decide you want to focus on the service or parts side of the business or the sales side, as you grow, you can become a sales manager, a finance manager, a general sales manager, a marketing manager. You can become a business development manager, a service manager, a parts manager. And all of those careers pay very well. They don't require a college degree. We do have a lot of people on our team who do have college degrees, but it's not required. It's all about what you're willing to invest in yourself and contribute to a performance-based culture that's going to determine how you rise within this.
Mm-hmm. This is a question of curiosity from me about, because I have very limited knowledge about the car business, but what I did know from the past was that those people in the car business work a tremendous amount of hours, sometimes 70, 80 hours a week. Is that still part of something you must subscribe to be in the automobile business, or is your culture what's a typical work week for a typical employee here? How many hours do your people work?
That absolutely would not happen in our culture. We schedule our salespeople to work 5 days a week, and they work about 45 to 46 hours per week. Now, they may come in on their own time if they have a special customer they need to take care of. But we do the same thing with our managers, our parts employees, our car washers. We want our people to have quality time away from work to refresh themselves, to recharge their batteries, and to focus on that piece of their life that is important to them also. Because you have to find a certain balance in order to have satisfied employees, and you have to find that balance for them to create a culture for them to be productive in. Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, that is, I believe, a culture that's going to pay the largest dividends, because I think the old mindset was to, you know, bring them in and you know, burn them out and, you know, suck all the life you can out of them and then toss them to the side and go grab another one, right?
Oh, yeah. When I was sweeping a floor in the parts department, the last career I ever wanted to be when I grew up was in the car business, because everybody worked 6 days a week. They were there at 7 in the morning until 8 at night. Mm-hmm. You know, they chain smoked all day long, yeah. And they were the grouchiest people in the world. And I never wanted to do that. But within our culture, you know, we want people to have that part of their life they deserve. That's why people build a career, so that they can enjoy things away from work that are important to them and their family.
Do you have to have a special interest in cars, do you think?
You do not.
Don't
no,
you?
Oh,
I love
not
cars.
At all. I know. Most people do.
I'm a massive
but, you know,
car fan.
When we opened our dealership, we specifically tried not to hire anyone who had ever worked in the car business.
Nice, okay.
So it was a little bit of a challenge, because there's no doubt that we lost car sales and we lost business because of that. Mm-hmm. But we were so focused on not hiring people from the car business. And, you know, we hired people from restaurants, from dry cleaners, from hotels, people I ran into at a gas station in a conversation.
Mm-hmm. For the right type of personality.
The right type of person. Mm-hmm. That's what we looked for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you can teach people occupational information, but you can't teach people at a certain point in age how to be the type of person that can create a great culture, how can, you know, they can,
yes,
treat people with the way they want to be treated. And
yeah,
that's what we look for.
Yeah. And it sounds like you do your homework, because you mentioned the zero risk. You mentioned the testing specific to the car business, and then the Wunderlich. And so you go to great lengths to make sure that you found the right person. And you spend some time and money and energy doing that, correct? Before you're slow to hire, right?
We're very slow to hire. And you know, on the other side, we're slow to fire. We haven't had to lose very many people. We've been open 19 months, but you have to be slow to hire if you really want to build the right team. Mm-hmm. You can't make a hiring decision that's bad in the beginning, because it's going to cause you to damage to your culture.
You do your due diligence. Well, the producer is telling me we got to wrap this show up. It has been so exciting, Bob. We have really enjoyed tapping into your knowledge and wisdom and the deep dive with you about culture, mindset of a servant leader and an entrepreneur and business owner. We're so grateful for you hosting us here at Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands. And Dr. Neuvold, thank you for being here to represent from Sam Houston State University College of Business. Catherine, thank you for being on the show today. I want to say Merry Christmas to everybody, to all of our listeners. And don't forget, you're going to be able to hear our show live every Thursday. You can download a complete replay of the show, Houston.ShrimpTankPodcast.com. Don't forget to go out and grab our shows off iTunes. And if someone's not familiar, we all around the Woodlands, most of us know where you're at here, Bob, but you want to give someone maybe the website, or just mention, you know, where to find your place here?
Sure. We're on I-45 North, just north of Highway 242, right next to Costco's. And our website is www.mbotw.com.
And they have some beauties out there in the parking lot. And, you know, when it needs an oil change, you can come in and you can get a massage and a latte, right?
I'm going to run out of fuel on the freeway. I'm just going to make myself run out of fuel.
We'll come rescue you, Catherine.
Thank you.
Thank you all for being on the show. It's a great show, and we will see you back here next week.
Welcome to the shrimp tank. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This just what I do, and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, but homie, keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'm a leader.
charged, charged like a federal. Fell on my lap, never. Going hard as ever, the results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.